Welcome to the Working Genius Podcast, where we discuss anything and everything related to the six types of working genius and how it impacts your work and your life. I'm Pat Lincioni, your host, joined by my co-host, Cody Thompson. Good morning, Cody, or good afternoon.
Good morning, Pat.
How are you doing?
It's good morning at 2 p.m. That's a good one.
I know. What does that say? And we got Tracy Noble on mic. Hi, Tracy.
Hey there.
Good to have you here. Matt Lincioni is on the keyboard doing our engineering stuff. We are going to talk about what today, Cody?
Well, guilt, but you never told me the title. Should we end?
I think the title is Stop Shoulding on Yourself.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Stop shoulding on yourself. But it's really about guilt and shame, right? See, the thing is, when we know that we have a God-given talent, a natural God-given talent, and when we understand we also have natural limitations, it's actually a huge relief. Because when we accept our limitations and embrace them, it allows us to embrace not only our gifts, but also our weaknesses. And that reduces the amount of pressure we feel to feel guilt and shame. And ironically, it allows us to get a little better at the things we're not good at. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is getting rid of guilt and shame and stop saying, I should do this better. I should have done that better. And understanding that we are not naturally gifted in every area. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And Cody, you got an email from somebody the other day about a relief that they got when they realized they're working genius. Tell us about that.
I got an email that turned into a phone call, and it was this woman, Scott, who I actually mentioned on our other podcast very briefly. She did describe, like, the boy named Sue, she's a woman named Scott. So I did not mispronounce her name. It's Scott. I believe you've said this before, Pat, is the guilt side of this. There's so many applications of working genius, but if all it did was eliminate guilt and judgment in the world, this would be worth it in and of itself. And she experienced this in droves when she discovered that she was a wonder inventor by taking the assessment. And the first connection she made to this, like, alleviating herself of this guilt she's felt for her whole life was around the relationship she had with her mom, in the sense that she finally realized her mom was an enablement tenacity person who was great at operationally running the family and the house, and the laundry was all done. You know, like, that
responding
was her
to the needs of everybody around her.
Exactly. And so she had some guilt around the way, even, and maybe even imposed on her from her mom, in the sense that she is a wonder inventor. And so when she did not have the same skill set or natural wiring. And when she said, the way she described it to me, she's like, I would sit down to do the laundry or clean the room, and instead I would redesign the entire room and it would still be dirty, you know, but I wanted to use my invention to do something different. And what it did for her is just let her embrace the way that she was wired, the way God wired her, and not feel the guilt that she felt for years around what she lacked in terms of what her mom had as gifts.
You know, for those people out there listening that are WIs, so my wife, my dear wife, Laura, is a WI. And when you described what Scott said about sitting down to do something and then redesigning it and coming up with a new system and never quite getting the initial task done, but coming up with a beautiful new system, my wife, Laura, is great at that. And she also feels so guilty. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just have to go, okay, I'm not good at some things, but I am good at this part of it. And the irony is that will allow you to go, now I can finish the other thing, because I'm not doing it because I feel bad about myself. I'm doing it because, okay, it's the kind of work I don't like to do, but I can just finish real fast.
Totally.
It's the Michael Jordan thing. Stop worrying about not being a good outside shooter. Keep doing what you're good at. Eventually you become a good outside shooter because you're not feeling bad about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this podcast is about healing. I mean, I really don't want to make this sound too touchy-feely, but this is so important. When we realize so much of what we felt guilt or shame about in our past is often about stuff that we shouldn't have felt that way, it was natural, we can go back and heal. And I can think about, in my career, my first job out of college, I failed. Now, I held on by the skin of my teeth or by my fingernails. You know, I was a white knuckler. So I got through the 2 years that people normally got through, but I was not successful in that job. Some people quit after 6 months and they probably had more courage than I did, but I didn't know why. And I thought I was just not as talented as I thought I was, not as smart as I thought I was. and that I was kind of lazy because I just couldn't work my way out of it. Here I am 30 years later, looking back and realizing I was in the wrong job for my natural gifts. It's allowing me to reframe what was one of the biggest failure experiences of my life, understanding that I got to let go of any guilt I feel about that because it wasn't meant for me. And that's the kind of relief that people feel when they see the working genius and they realize, oh, this is just who I am. And I think all of us here, we have our own stories about that, right, Trace?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Pat. This is how the model actually was discovered, right? Because you were experiencing this guilt and frustration about work that you had to do. You had to constantly galvanize us. And, you know, for 23 years, Pat, now looking back, I understand why work was so difficult. Yeah, well, and I felt like a failure, to be honest, because I wasn't able to do that. We saw that you carried that burden, that load for us. And Amy and I just, we both have it in our frustration, our working frustration. It's my last. And I just wasn't able, I tried time and time again to rally the troops, to push people, and I just couldn't do it. So it's very healing for me.
Right, because it's easy to go, I'm letting him down or I'm letting the company down.
Absolutely.
And it's like, and I know, by the way, you would do anything for the company, but asking somebody to do something that is in their deficit is just unrealistic and a setup for shame and guilt if they don't know why.
Absolutely. And then layer the fact that I'm an E on top of it. So what I would do is I would just do everything myself because I wasn't able to push and to rally. So I would just take that burden on myself in doing things. And that was not healthy at all.
Right. And just so even looking at our own company, you can let go of some of the guilt you felt. Mm-hmm. And I can feel bad for you for realizing that how much you put that on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I love that word healing, Pat, and because, you know, it's almost in some ways sort of an instantaneous rewriting of history when you start to understand your areas of working genius and some of even like past resentment. Like I think about a previous job at a startup where I kind of got bitter at the people that I was working with and I had created this story in my mind. And when I realized like, oh, it's because one, I didn't know what my working genius was and what area I should have been contributing in. And two, they didn't know that about me. I can have a little more grace. It's a little bit of an explanation that says like, oh, they weren't intentionally doing that. I wasn't self-aware enough and they didn't know what my skill set was. So they put me in this role that had to be done. And it just wasn't the right fit. And it sort of de-escalates that bitterness to like a, boy, that there was a self-awareness issue there. And there was like a job and role and structure issue. Now, there's also personality issues in the midst of that, but it gives you a little bit of permission to rewrite that story in a different way that's not quite as hurtful.
When we reduce our own guilt and shame, it allows us to reduce the judgment we feel toward others.
Mm-hmm.
Both because we can be empathic and realize, oh, there was some things about me that weren't a good fit. I just didn't understand what they were.
Right. And as long as people are not using it as an excuse, like that's not the point. Is like, oh, well, I guess I wasn't good at T-work. So now I have an excuse for that behavior. It's like, no, but I do have an explanation for why I showed up the way that I showed up. Or I have an explanation why that person, when you find out something is core to their wiring, then you definitely have you have more grace rather than, oh, I think that person is intentionally doing this. It's like, right. Oh, I understand that that's just how you show up. That's the way God wired you.
Yeah. You know, I will say this, even for my wife and I never understood why she didn't finish certain tasks. She's a WI. She's a redesigner. And I would be like, when are we going to finish this? Now, what was crazy is I didn't want to finish it because I didn't have tea either, but I didn't know that and I didn't know what that meant. And now Laura and I look back on it and she goes, I don't have to feel guilty about this anymore. And I can say, I'm sorry, I didn't understand who you were. And it has been a really important healing in our marriage because we were interpreting like 10 years of our marriage in terms of our frustrations around things that we're just both pretty bad at.
Mm-hmm.
I think one great thing about the whole shame and guilt thing is, and I think this is something we didn't really talk about in the first episode that we talked about guilt and judgment, was it's not just oh, I'm not good at this. I don't have to feel guilty anymore. I like how you guys talked about how it actually does allow you to be better at that. For me, and I've talked about how I struggle with tenacity. It's one of my frustrations. And since, you know, we discovered this model and everything, I've actually gotten a lot more effective working in that area just because I know what it is. I understand why I'm not good at it. I don't immediately feel guilty when I have to do T-related work. And it's allowed me to grow in that area just simply because of letting go of the guilt. So it's not just, okay, I don't have to feel guilty anymore. It's actually just acknowledging it and growing in that area.
And isn't that crazy that by putting extra burden on ourselves for not being good at something, it frees us up to be much better at it because we don't have to carry around that feeling. And Matt, I've noticed this. You're actually pretty neat. Like, you clean your house. You do all these tea things now at home, but that's not your nature. But you seem to kind of enjoy it now.
It's, well, for me, it's about being intentional about it.
That's really interesting.
And yeah, I don't have to avoid it anymore because it's not this angsty, bad feeling that I get whenever I have to operate in that area. And now I can be intentional about when I do it and how I do it. And like I said, it's allowed me to grow in that area.
That's so interesting. And I think it was Tracy who said before we started, and this rings true with me now, as you said that, Matt, and that is we don't even have to be intentional about acting in our geniuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even have to try to invent something. It's what happens when I breathe.
Yeah.
But the things I'm not good at, I have to do intentionally. But when you have guilt around it, it makes it so much harder. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way to look at this. Our geniuses are about the areas that we're good at almost unintentionally.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've talked about before how we sometimes have to be intentional about not operating our geniuses, but regulating them.
That's interesting. I have to, because sometimes I have to turn it off and go, I'm not supposed to be inventing a new way to do things here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At both ends, it comes back to just awareness and being intentional.
Yeah.
It is crazy, though. Sometimes we also feel guilty when we use our geniuses. I know that, Pat, you struggle with this at times, that when you're in that ID loop, sometimes you feel guilty and you shouldn't. So where does that come from?
That's a really interesting point. Just the other day, I was coming up with a new model here and I can't help myself. And even now you can hear myself like I'm apologizing for it. And yeah. I stopped everybody that was listening to me. I was at the whiteboard and I was drawing a square and lines. And I said, I have to ask you guys this. Am I wasting your time? And you guys were like, no, this is what we do. This is really interesting. And I was like, because I feel really bad that I am making you sit here and listen to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that has to do. Maybe that has to do with something beyond working genius. But when we naturally do things in our areas, we shouldn't apologize for them. But we should make it okay for somebody to go, hey, Pat, I got some other stuff I have to do. So let's do this later. I don't know. Maybe it's just a matter of being a little bit less confident that I'm not just, you know, wasting your time. Because I've done that before, too.
Well, I think there's something to be said for when you understand the entire model and then you can contextualize what's happening in those moments. Like, I would bet that we got a lot more frustrated by your random acts of invention when we didn't understand what you were doing and we didn't know where we were at in the process. So it's kind of like when you turn around and say, oh, I'm inventing right now, we're like, oh, okay, that's great. Because before it felt like you might be galvanizing or you're trying to get us moving on a project. And it gives us a little bit of permission to go, oh, we're at the early stage of this. We're still going to discern this. We're not rallying the troops around this. So it does bring about a different level of like context for when that happens.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. And so often, it happened yesterday, I was in a meeting, a Zoom call, and I was saying something to people and I said, I'm eyeing right now, I'm inventing, I'm not gene. I'm not saying, let's go do this. And it allowed me to feel less guilty because in the past, I don't think I knew if I was eyeing or gene. When I was saying stuff, I was like, I don't know, should they just act on this? Come on, let's go. So you're right, having the language allows me to kind of be a little calmer in that now.
I used to, the way that I felt guilty of overusing mine is, my discernment kicks in. Someone could be telling me about, like, I'll even be watching a comedy special on TV and critique, like, oh, they should have used that punchline right there. You know, you can't really turn it off. Or someone's telling you about their new idea or the vacation they went on or how they made their dinner. And I used to just insert my discernment opinion on how that should have gone a little better. And And so now, you know, being in a position where I know like, oh, that's my natural tendency. I did have some guilt around even overusing that at some stages, but someone will come to me and I'm like, oh, is this the time where you actually want me to use that? And I had a friend named James who actually listens to this podcast, used the Working Genius. He's a CEO at this great company called Wellview. And he actually texted me this morning. He was on a long drive and he just listened to our pairings one. And he's an inventor galvanizer. And he said, I'm realizing I'm such an IG, I'm a disruptor. He was listening to like both of those are disruption. And as the CEO, he's like, I come across as an overseller. Oh my gosh. And he was feeling like this, a little bit of guilt around this, which is great for us to be self-aware of. But the other side of the coin is like, boy, if your team knows that and knows exactly how to tap into that, it's a wonderful thing. So it's that self-awareness is wonderful. I don't think we need to feel it's like you, like this, the whole point of this is to shed the guilt and start
and shame
and then live into exactly how you're wired. That's the best, highest use of who you are in any context.
Yeah. And I don't want to get too theological or philosophical here, but some guilt is good when it goes, oh, wait a second, maybe I have to rethink this. That's healthy guilt. But when it's guilt that leads to shame, where you feel like, oh, I feel terrible about myself, it's like, I should feel guilty when I go to somebody's meeting right before they're launching something and I start to be an inventor. Yep. I should go, I'm raining on their parade. I should be quiet. We're about to launch this thing. They don't need this. But when I can go, oh, I do that naturally. Sorry about that, you guys. I'm just leaning into my eye. This is not the right time. It's not a cause for shame. It's just a good way to catch myself.
Mm-hmm. And the, you know, one thing I find fascinating now that we've had hundreds of conversations with people who have had some level of aha moment around their working genius is how often this guilt shame framework goes back to your childhood and like goes back to how you grew up and what you felt guilty for and how working genius can rewire some of that. I know yours, Pat, James, that same guy I was talking to, he said the hook for me that when I listened to the podcast and Pat explained why he didn't like mowing the lawn with his dad and that he felt so guilty about that, that opened up all sorts of thoughts for him. And so many people that I talk to are taking that realization all the way back to their interaction with their parents or their siblings. And I was even telling you guys about, you know, I'm an identical twin brother, and all things considered, you'd think like, oh, we operate very similarly. We have similar friends. We have similar interests. We had the same car growing up and the same job. So like there, so much was the same about us. And my brother is an inventor and likes to create things out of nothing. And I remember when we were young, my after we had started to get into more of our careers, I didn't create something out of nothing. I went and found what I thought was the best fit for me in a job. And my brother bounced around to four or five different new inventions. Like
Wild ideas.
He lived in different countries and he consulted around things. And I remember one time, and this wasn't about trying to shame my brother, my dad, who also wasn't an inventor, one time asked my brother, so when are you going to get a real job like Cody? You know? And for him, it was like, well, you kind of need to follow the path. And for my brother, his natural wiring is as an inventor is, no, I want to innovate and make my own way and create something out of nothing. Both were totally fine for each of us, but it changed the way that we lived our lives.
I think most of us parents wish our children were T's, had tenacity, not because we want them to clean up our house for us, but because we feel like, oh, it would be so much easier for them in school because they would do their homework and they would finish things. But we're projecting onto them that would be good for them. But if that's not who they are, all we want them is for them to be happy. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know what their working genius is, you can't root for that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, my son the other night rediscovered my 15-year-old sat down and did the working genius because he'd never really did it because he was around the house when we first came up with it. So we thought we knew what he was and we did it and he saw, oh my gosh, I'm a WE. That explains some of my friendship relationships I have. That explains why it's hard for me to push back on things sometimes. And it was like such a... And when my wife, she was out of town, she got home and I said, Michael's a WE. This changes everything. And now we could say, don't feel guilty. This is how you're wired. This is wonderful. Let's figure out how to work within that. So boy, this is a powerful thing, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's in our marriage. all those things. Bo, one of our colleagues, he did a session today for a bunch of ranchers, a bunch of farmers and ranchers. And he said one of the things they said was, one of the reasons why generational farming and ranching is tough in families, because most people who start a farm probably have a lot of tenacity, because it's like every day finishing this. You don't go, well, I didn't plant this year, so, but I think it'll be okay. It's like, you have to finish things. And he said, then their kids come around and they're like, why are they not getting into my business? Or if they are, why are they not doing it the way I'm doing it? Because if you have a baby who turns out not to have tenacity, it's quite possible that them going into ranching and farming is not going to be their thing. But if you don't know that, you think these kids are just, you know, they're just ruining the legacy of my farm. It's like, no, they should go do something else.
Well, and it's interesting because it's not like they need to necessarily even change the industry. Like, you can run a family farm as an ET or a WI, but what I think the difference is, once it's established, yeah, you have to be open to doing it differently. And I think too often it goes back to Scott's story, is like, Scott's household is going to look different than her mom's household. And that's actually okay. And we should celebrate that instead of feel guilt or shame or embarrassment about why it's different.
You know, for years I felt bad because my dad, who God rest his soul, loved me, and he really did, but a new book would come out of mine and it would be successful. And he'd come visit the house and he'd open the garage door and look in my garage and go, man, your garage is a mess. And I would be like, but Dad, I just wrote a book. But he was an ET. And he's like, yeah, but you can't clean your garage. And I felt like, why are you doing that? And it's like, that was his natural thing that he valued. And so I can let go of some of that. You know, it's easy to be in therapy for years and lament that. And some of that's true. But also, he just was wired differently and saw things through a different lens. And that's kind of nice to be able to heal through that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, this is a nice therapeutic exercise for all of us. And we hope for you too. I would love to hear stories about people who can go revisit things that happened in their past, in their job, in their life, and see it through a different lens. Because if you can see it through a more truthful, accurate lens about the gifts God gives you and doesn't give you, then maybe it'll help you live a more fulfilled life. And so we love having this conversation with you. Thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you next time on the Working Genius Podcast. God bless.